Thank you once more. A beautiful song. What a wonderful transport it will be one day when we meet with Jesus. I think there won't be any need to prepare a sermon or even to listen to a sermon. But while we are here, I think we have to do that for the purpose of our sanctification and even for our growth. Thank you for just one more session with you this morning. I was just thinking while we were sitting outside about how this world is really so active in influencing many. I think it was 3 days ago when my son asked me this question, and I never thought he will ever ask such a question. Even I never, you know, entertain such a question in my life. But when your son asks a question, you have to come up with an answer. But usually if I don't have an answer, I postpone for 2 days to do research and I'll give an answer. And his question was, I think somebody taught him that maybe a day before when he was at school, and he came to me and said, "Papa, how do I know that I exist? How do I know that I exist?" And I was busy doing my sermon, and you know, that kind of a question is very interesting, though foolish a little bit. But how do I know that I exist? You know, I had to stop everything because I never thought of this question. And quickly, I didn't know what to tell him, but an answer came, and I left whatever I was doing, and I said to him, "Then who shall I say is asking? You know, how do I know that I exist?" And for a moment I asked him, "Then who shall I say is asking?" You know, because he wants to know if he exists, I also want to know who's asking that question. And then he sort of, okay, now I know I exist. So that was just a simple way out of it, but it was interesting to just to know how even the education system is now indoctrinating young men and women with this confusing, rather even satanic teaching. You know, just a question of existence is no longer, you ask first, how do I know I exist? The next question I know it will be, how do we know that God exists? That's where it's leading to. But I hope we'll hold firm to the scriptures and what the scriptures teaches just for the people. So let me just offer a prayer and then we begin. Our Father's in heaven, thank you that you are God and we are not. And thank you that you are sovereign over everything, even this day as we commune, as we search your word. Thank you that you are the God who opens our minds to see this wonderful treasure in your way. Bless the preaching of your word. Bless your people as they pay attention to hear your word. Your word is our counsel. Your word is our authority. Therefore, we want to submit our intellectual, we want to submit our whole being under the authority of your word. Bless this time, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's now dine or enjoy or endure this second session. I know normally in our church when I preach this, they are not telling me, but this is what I've come to learn in these few years of ministry, that the first 30 minutes of your preaching, your people are praying for you. And if you go beyond 35 minutes, they are praying against you. So I want to make sure you don't pray against me, but you pray for me. Now, my second session will be a little bit different. The theme remains the same, young but not ashamed. But my main topic, I will say, is young and perfect example. And then in brackets, they said that the aim of this session is to pick up one historical evangelical youth and expound his or her own missional mindedness as an example to our youth that we must also think of spreading the gospel beyond our comfort zone. When you get an email like this, you say, what is he asking for? What I'm reading is my bishop's email. He just throw the whole thing at me. He said, you will figure it out. You have to be smart enough to figure these things out. And then he suggested someone, and Murudi, I went to read about this person, and I thought, well, let me look for somebody else. Not that he was bad, he's good and all that, but I thought, rather than let me look for somebody else. And this was more of a torturing assignment for me, but a joyous one, because I never thought in this way, finding a historical evangelical youth and expound his life, and from his life somehow to see how he was or she was mission-minded, and that will serve as an example to our youth. Wow, that's very academic for me. So, but thank you, Murudi. I think I tried to do that. And if we are to be honest, only few Christian youth think about missions, but the rest only think about the vacation, isn't it? Most Christian youth, they think about the vacation, but only few think about the missions. Even when we propose a mission trip, most young people, they think about outing. They are going for an outing for 3 days in some remote place somewhere. So most young people, the reality is we don't think missions, but rather we think vacations. And because of that mindset, even when we grow up and even when we have families, we don't think missions, we think, what's our next destination? Short left, short right. You know, that department of traveling and tourism, short left, short right. That's what we think. What's our next destination? Cape Town, Devon, that's what we are thinking, vacation. And we think less missions. And I believe, Murudi, this is a good one, because I think we need to learn these things while we still grow up, so we can even influence our families to be on missions for God. This, the reason why most you think vacation, not mission, sometimes is primarily because we think mission work is for the elderly. We think mission work is for older people in our church, but not for the youth at all. We think missions is for older people, but not for the youth. But that conception or that concept is unbiblical. Why? Because the Bible clearly commands all believers, young and old, to be mission-minded. The Bible commands both young and old Christians to be mission-minded. One passage that will come to your mind is Matthew 28, of which I'm not going there. And one scripture that I find very encouraging and compelling for me to do missions work is Romans chapter 15. Can we read there? Romans chapter 15. Just doing this as a matter of introduction. Romans 15 verse 20. It reads, just joining there, and I have made it my aim to preach the gospel. Why? Not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. Apostle Paul personally, or personal ambition or desire for missions, was to get out of his comfort zone. Look at verse 20. His aim says, I've made it my aim, my goal, my desire to preach the gospel, but specifically, not where Christ was named, meaning not where Christ has been already preached, lest I build on another man's foundation. So his desire was more to preach Christ in those remote areas, in those areas where Christ has not yet been made known. His desire was to get out of his comfort zone so as to make Christ known. And my task and purpose for this session is to look at one historic evangelical youth and expound his or her missional mindedness as an example and encouragement to our Christian youth today to be mission minded. So, what I'm going to do, I'm going to pick up one historic evangelical youth who was mission-minded, and from his life draw an encouragement for us today to be mission-minded. So, for those of us who don't like history, I think this session is going to be a little bit tough. So, history is not one of my favorite subjects, but the nature of my trade, I had to love history, whether I like it or not. So, we are going to do a little bit of history because I was asked to pick up a one person, evangelical, historical personnel, and expound his life. And one person was suggested, but I had to do my own homework, and I found this interesting guy. Now, for those of you who find history very difficult, this is how really you can, let me do this for the sake of those who will switch off on the way. I'm going to tell you when this guy was born and when he died, and you can switch off. That's history, right? Always when you do history, you must know the person, when they were born, if they were married, their wife, his wife, or whatever, and you must know when he died. And you know your history. But let's pay attention on this one. I decided, after searching, I found this guy. His name is difficult to pronounce, but I'll try my best so you can imagine. His name is Adoniram Judson. Adoniram Judson. So this is a very interesting character. I never knew of this man, but this assignment somehow exposed me to him. Adoniram Judson. Adoniram Judson. Who is Adoniram Judson? He is who Adoniram Judson is. Adoniram Judson was born August 9, 1788. Adoniram Judson was born August 9, 1788, and he died April 12, 1850. So he was about 61 years old when he died. Adoniram Judson was born to the Judson family in the North America. That's where he was born. And Adoniram Judson, at the age of 25, he went to be a missionary in a city, not necessarily a city, it's a remote place called Burma. Burma is found in India. So this man, Adoniram Judson, he went to Burma, India, to be a missionary there. And Adoniram Judson served in Burma, India, for almost 40 years before he died. At the end, at the age of 25 years, as I said, Adoniram Judson became a first Protestant missionary sent from North America to preach in Burma, India. Adoniram Judson was one of the few evangelical youth who was willing to preach the gospel where Christ has not yet been named. That Romans 15:20. Adoniram Judson was one of the few evangelical youth who was willing to go to Burma to make Christ known in those places in which Christ has not yet been preached. He left the comfort zone of his North American home to pursue a heavenly calling to preach the gospel in Burma, India. This is what he said in his expression expressing the passion for the gospel. This is what he said, that Ram Jason, he said, "I will never leave Burma until the cross is planted here forever." He said, "I will never leave Burma, I will never leave India, specifically Burma, until the cross is planted here." Meaning, I will never leave Burma until these people, they know and understand who Christ is. I'll never leave Burma. That was his passion for missions. And as I studied the life of Adoniram Judson, I came to the following conclusions, which will constitute my proposition for young people on missions for God. Amen. As I studied the life of this guy, Adoniram Judson, age of 25, I came to the following conclusions, which I will share with you. And these conclusions will constitute my proposition for young people on missions for God. So there are almost four observable, I'll only limit them to few, truth from the life of Adoniram Judson in conjunction with the Bible that I want to leave with you as young men and women who if you are to be on the mission of God. So I want to leave you with these observations, conclusions that I drew from the life of this man, and I hope they will encourage you and I to be on mission for God, on missions for God. Now, the first thing we learn from the life of Adoniram Judson, it's a long article that I cannot just read it to you. I try to summarize the article because it's very long to read the whole thing and summarize it. It's very long. So what I gave is just a slight ideas of who Adoniram Judson is. But the first thing you learn from the life of Adoniram Judson is this. If you are to be on missions for God, this is what you have learned for him. Judson had a burning passion for Christ. That's the first thing. This man Adoniram Judson, he had a burning passion for Christ. I believe that the very fundamental factor that drove Mr. Judson to leave the comfort of his North American home, to leave his comfort zone, was because he had a passion for Christ. He had this burning passion for Christ that led him to go to Burma. Remember, India is one of those nations that are anti-Christ. And this young man at the age of 25, very educated, as you can somehow at our own spare time read his biography. Adoniram Judson was a very educated man. He had a good career. But because of his passion, this burning passion for Christ, he left all those things and went to Burma because he had a passion for Christ. The passion started first after he encountered Christ personally himself. He learned and accepted Christ first, and from his devotion to Christ, that's where his passion developed. What I'm proposing to you this day, ladies and gentlemen, is that you cannot be missional minded unless you have passion for Christ. You cannot live the comfort of your home, the comfort of your church, and be mission minded unless you have this burning passion for Christ. Adoniram Judson left all those glamorous or those fancy things in his hometown, North America, for the sake of Christ. Isn't it what Apostle Paul said in Philippians? I've considered all things lost. Yes, I've considered them rubbish. Why? For the sake of knowing Christ and also the fellowship of knowing him and the power of his resurrection. If you and I are to be mission-minded, we must first, I believe, have passion for Christ. We must have passion for him. You must have passion for making Christ known even in those remote areas. Mr. Judson had a deep understanding and a personal relationship with Christ, which clearly influenced his passion to make his gospel known. Judson had this deep understanding and a personal relationship with Christ, and that clearly influenced his passion to make the gospel of Christ known. As young people, I don't believe if we don't have passion, a burning passion for Christ, I don't think we will stand up and be on missions for him. Amen. That's why it begins. We must have passion for him. And that passion, as I noted, this man just said, before he came to know Christ, he was just interested in his own life, his own trade and all that. But after he learned of Christ, after he accepted Christ and he devoted his life to Christ, he then understood that I need to be on missions for this Christ. Do you know him? Do you have that personal relationship with him? If not, you cannot be on missions for him. Amen. What I find interesting about missions is this. Sometimes, in fact, just historically, I've had the privilege of being in an institution a missions institution, even working in that institution. In 2003, I was part of an institution called the J-Life Ministries. By then, there were more on missions and all that. That's why I met Pastor Chris. You see, you find many people who have been sent for missions. But when you want to know, or if you ask them about their personal relationship with Christ, they know nothing about Christ. They know less about Christ. But they want to be on missions for Christ. These are some of the words you'll hear. I decided to come on mission trip. Why? Because, you know, I want to give my life to these people. The thing with missions is nobody needs your life. Everybody needs the life of Christ. Amen. So if you go on missions and you are not out there to give them Christ, why do you go on missions? In other words, I'll be very hesitant to take or to send a new convert in my church to missions. I'll be very hesitant to do that. Because they must first personally know Christ so that they can share Christ. So Adoniram Johnson was a man who was devoted, who accepted Christ first and was devoted to Christ. And from there, he went out for Christ. Young people, if you are to be on missions for Christ, let me rest assure you, it must start at home. It must start in your personal life. If you don't know Christ, you cannot go out there and tell people about Christ, unless if you are going on vacation. If you don't know him personally, you cannot go out for him. You see, many trips that are labeled mission trip, they should rather be labeled as church outing, whatever, church, you know, vacation, church picnic kind of a thing. Because missions is not about fun, right? Because the death and life of Christ, there's nothing fun about that. Why do you call missions? No, I want to play soccer with them. Do they need to play soccer? You can play soccer, that's fine, but they need Christ. Amen. Soccer can be a tool, I don't argue that, to mobilize people and all that, but they need Christ. So as Adoniram just said, the first principle or the first conclusion I came up with is, he had a burning passion for Christ. And that is the very thing I leave with you firstly, that if you are to be on missions for Christ as a young person who's not ashamed of that, you must have a burning passion for Christ. And you must know that Christ personally. Usually when you receive a phone call from a member of your church, you predict a few things. Number one, maybe they have some problems. Number two, somebody asks them a question about the Bible, they don't know the answer, and therefore you are their encyclopedia. Meaning, we phone that guy, he knows the answer. And, you know, they just know our encyclopedia is just a phone call away. Murudi, somebody asks this question, I don't understand. You give the answer, then they call that guy and they make themselves smart. You know, do you know him? As a young person. Do you know him? Christ. Adoniram Johnson strongly knew Christ and was devoted to Christ. There is nothing that can push and encourage young people to be missional unless they themselves understand and have accepted Christ. And I'm emphasizing this because it's very important. Unless you have accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you cannot and you do not qualify to be on missions. In many cultures, especially in the Western cultures, but even in our black cultures today, if your child is troublesome, you think, where is a Christian school? That's the first thing we think. If I cannot discipline and disciple my child, the first thing that comes to mind is, where can I find a Christian school? If they are done with their matric, we think, why is a Christian institution somewhere around there? Well, there's J-Life. Let me throw him or her J-Life. Maybe after a year, they will be better. Can you send such a person to missions? Not for Christ. Not for Christ. You must personally know him. If you are to take young people who have not accepted Christ's missions work, as strongly as I said before, believe that that exercise should be regarded as a vacation of some kind, not missions at all. For just then, Christ was the heart and the soul of missions, nothing else. For Adoniram Judson, when he left North America, he knew that missions is about Christ. Mission starts with Christ. Missions is about Christ. Mission ends with Christ. Therefore, those who are in missions, they must know Christ. Or those who desire to be mission-minded, they must personally know Christ, just like Mr. Judson. Look at this from the Bible. This man also, he was mission-minded. And as I read this passage, I realized that he was also committed to Christ. And from there, that's where he developed passion for mission. So read with me 1 Corinthians chapter 5, or 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians or 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm reading from verse 17. Sorry, I said verse 17. No, I misquoted it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I don't know why. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, on my notes I wrote 1 Corinthians, I wonder why, but it's okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. And next, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. And jump to verse 20. Now then, or therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Now, look at this man on mission for Christ. First thing he said in verse, as you go through verse 18, that God has first reconciled us to himself through Christ. We have first personally been reconciled to God. And now, the second step, what God is doing is this. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. He has given us the task to reconcile or to call others to be reconciled with him. Hence verse 20. Now then, or therefore, we are the representatives or ambassadors of Christ. I believe that on missions, our job is to represent Christ. But first, you must be reconciled to Christ before you can call others to be reconciled to him. Amen. Judson was reconciled to God through Christ, and he went to Burma to plead with those people to be reconciled to God through Christ. Firstly, if you are to be on missions for God, for Christ, you must have a passion for him. That passion starts personally before, or privately before it can go publicly. Private relationship with Christ plays a vital role to our public ministry for him. Our private relationship with him It plays a very pivotal role to our public ministry. If you don't have a healthy personal relationship with Christ in private, there's no way you can be an effective ambassador of Christ in public, lest you play hypocrisy. If you are to be effective as a young person, as a mission, on missions, I think you must first get your act together. You must first be reconciled to God through Christ. Your relationship with Him in private should be a healthy one before you can go and represent Him in public. If we are privately not devoted or even attracted to Christ, how are we going to compel others to be reconciled to Him? You see, sometimes you wonder if Christ is attractive to us. Is He? Is He? Because, I mean, young people, there's no way you can speak about someone energetically so unless that somebody's interesting to you. I mean, if you were to give me 2 minutes and say, please tell us about your wife, and I start to go, her name is Mary. She loves me. She says, and basically, she loves me. I mean, you're going to be concerned, right? You're going to arrange some counseling session immediately just to. But if I speak about someone whom I'm passionate about, whom I have fellowship and relationship with, I think I'm going to ask for more than 5 minutes. Why? Because this somebody is appealing to me. This somebody is interesting to me. And I think and believe that as young people, unless Christ is appealing and attractive to us, we cannot boldly and energetically so speak about Him. We cannot go on missions for Him. Always we will say, if you want to know about Christ, ngizofonela umfundisi. It is when an appointment on Fundis and then also tell them, oh, Jesus, whatever you say. Because you are not energetic. But if you are energetic about somebody, if the opportunity is there to be missional, let me tell you about this interesting personality. For Justin, Christ was everything. Christ was attractive to him. Thus, he went to Burma for about 40 years of his life. Hence, he died 61 years. Secondly, if we are to be mission-minded as young people, I believe from the life of Mr. Justin, this is what I've learned also. Justin had a passion for the lost people. Firstly, passion for Christ. Secondly, passion for the lost. Passion for the lost. I think that's the second thing I will propose to you. We must have passion for Christ. Secondly, we must have passion for the lost. Passion for the lost. That's the second thing. I believe that the second driving force behind Mr. Justin's mission work, I believe he was passionate about the lost. I mean, how could he really leave the comfort of his home and go to this remote antichrist nation for 40 years? You cannot do that unless you have passion for the lost. You cannot do that unless you have this burning passion for the lost world. He was comfortable with, he was not comfortable with the fact that he personally have accepted Christ, but rather his passion was extended to the call for salvation beyond his borders, or the borders of North America. You see, one of the hindrances to missions work is because we tend to be comfortable with the fact that we are Christians, does it. I know Christ, I've accepted Christ, that's it. But for Mr. Justin, that was not the end of the journey. He knew that Christ did not just call him to be a Christian, but he knew that Christ has called him to have a relationship with him first, but secondly, even to be of service to Christ. A servant is not greater than his master, but the Bible says, if I, your master, have not come to be served but to serve, how much more of you? Christ did not come to be served, but he came to serve. Mr. Justin understood that very truth, hence he left his home to Burma. He understood that there are many people in Burma who are dying apart from Christ. And he had to be that instrument in God's hand. Justin understood the call of Christ to each and every one of his followers to make disciples of all nations. He understood also that the wrath of God has been revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, Romans 1:18. And that arose a passion in him to spread the gospel beyond the borders of his homeland. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to propose to you that unless you understand the condition of our world, I don't think we will have passion for missions. If we think the world we are living in is okay, is fun, is enjoyable, then I don't think we will go on missions. If we think Olivan is fun, Olivan is cozy, Olivan is, you know, comfortable, I don't think we will ever reach the people of Olivan. Same applies to the world as a whole. Unless we understand the condition of our world, I don't believe we will go, like Mr. Justin, be on missions for God. We must have passion for the lost, for the world. Let me paint you a picture of the world. Just a slideshow of really the condition of the world at present. Let me paint you a picture from biblical perspective. This is what the Bible says. Turn with me to Romans, Book of Romans. Just go for a few verses, just to paint you a picture of the world currently. This is more of world affairs. I hope this picture will stimulate you to stand and be on missions for God. Let me read you from Romans chapter 1 and give you the picture of the world currently. I'm reading from verse 18. Chapter 1 of Romans, verse 18. This is the condition. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who surpasses the truth in unrighteousness. So the world, how do you define the world from there? Unrighteous, ungodly. Verse 18. Now, to see that in action, look at the following verse, verse 22. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible men, and a bird, and a four-legged animals, and a creeping thing. That's idolatry. That's how the world is now. Now jump with me. Verse 25. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie? Who worship and serve the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever? Amen. Verse 26. For this reason God gave them up to their vile passions. For even their women exchange the natural use of what is against nature. Likewise also the men living the natural use of the women, bend with their lusts for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. That's the whole world of gays, homosexuals and all that. That's our world. And as a result, the wrath of God is upon such people. The only way a man can be saved from his creator is through and by his creator. God is angry at them, and the only person who can save them from God is God Himself. There's no one. And we should understand that, you know, God is angry at the people of Olivens, and we should understand that, and that will drive us to preach Him to them, because He's the only one who can save them from Himself. No one. But also, furthermore, you see the condition of the world as it stands now. Romans 3, picking up a few verses there. Romans 3. Verse 11, I'm reading. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. That's the world. No one is seeking after God. Even those who think they are seeking after God, that they are doing so for selfish purposes. No one is seeking after God. Verse 12. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. That's the world. Is there anyone who is good? No. There's no one. Why? They've all turned aside. Why? None of them seeks after God. What should we do? We should reach to them. They need Christ. That's the basic understanding of the world that we should have, you and I. Ladies and gentlemen, our passion for this lost world, I believe we should, to have passion for the lost, we should first understand their condition. Their condition. Turn to Romans 5, just to throw the last slideshow of how the world is now. I'm reading verse 6. Romans chapter 5. For when we were still without the strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Anyone apart from Christ is ungodly. And secondly, verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But verse 8. But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. They are ungodly and they are sinners. They are sinners. That's how the world is. Verse 9. Much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from His wrath through Him. For even when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. The third way you can describe the world is this. They are enemies of God. Amen. So the picture is, missions is about the loving God reaching to His enemy through His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. The loving God reaching to His enemies through His Son, Jesus Christ. You see, that colleague of yours is an enemy of God. Your friend, your classmate is an enemy of God. And I think once you understand that, you know, Cynthia, I hope there's no Cynthia here. Once you understand that Cynthia is not just a cool friend, but you start to understand Cynthia from a biblical point of view, that Cynthia is really not good. She does not seek after God. She has turned aside. She's ungodly. And worst part, she is the enemy of God. Once you see Cynthia in that way, or unless you see Cynthia in that way, you will never reach out to her. You must first understand Cynthia from a biblical point of view. If not, you will think of Cynthia is cool.
She doesn't do 1, 2, 3, but she's still the enemy of God.
Some of us, here's the thing, even our parents are enemies of God. That's true. Some of us, even our parents who gave birth to us, they stand as enemies of God. Somebody must stand and do something. Somebody must stand and do something. And Apostle Paul understood this very thing when he wrote chapter 3. And on he went. In chapter 10 of Romans, this is very interesting. After observing the conditions of sinners, he said the following words, chapter 10, verse 1. He said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer for the Israelites, my people, is that they may be saved." Verse 2. "For I bear them witness that they have zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." Verse 11, he said, "Now, how can they call on the one whom they've never heard about? How can they hear unless somebody preaches? How can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, blessed are the feet of those who bring good tidings." Verse 17, "For faith comes through hearing, and hearing the word of God."
They need somebody to step out of his or her comfort zone to preach Christ to them.
I think, unlike Adoniram Judson, we have succumbed ourselves to the comfort of this life to an extent that we have forgotten that the world is dying out there. The world is dying out there. Listen to this word by C.T. Studd. He said the following words, I quote, "Someone to live within the sound of church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop, even within the very yard of hell." He said, some, they want to live, they want to be comfortable within the sound of church or chapel bells, meaning they want to be comfortable in their own churches and so forth. He said, "But I want to run a rescue shop, a rescue mission." He said, "Even within the very yard of hell." He understood that many people are dying out there. Do we understand that? And they are not far from us. Some, our neighbor, our very close friends at the work, wherever we find ourselves. For Adoniram Judson, he understood that the people in Burma are dying. The people in Burma are enemies of God. The people in Burma have turned aside. They need somebody to be the mouthpiece of God. And for Justin, he was going to be that man in Burma for 40 years. Am I here asking you to sacrifice 40 years of your life and go to Burma? Definitely not. But I'm saying, even in Oliver, even in Nokane, where I come from, even wherever you come from, there are many people there who are enemies of God. And for you and I, we need to have passion for them and step out of our comfort zone. Sometimes, something I've learned in the past 11 years I've been in Nokaneng, you know, when you are comfortable in your churches, even when you have a visitor, after church you are used to your own groups, you know. You don't even see a visitor passing by. You never even get to ask him or her, "Do you know Christ?" Why? Because you are consumed by the comfort of your church, by the comfort of your luxury or whatever. We forget that. Who knows? God might bring an unbeliever amongst us. What are we going to do about that? If we don't have a burning passion for Christ and that burning passion for the lost, I don't think you and I will be able to step up and be on mission for Christ. Elton Trueblood said the following words, I quote again, he said, "Evangelism is not a professional job for a few trained men, but instead is the unrelenting responsibility
of every person who belongs to the company of Jesus. I quote again. Evangelism is not a professional job for a few trained men. No. But instead, is the unrelenting responsibility of every person who belongs to the company of Jesus. We come from different churches presented in this house today. Let me ask you, who's responsible for evangelism in your church? In my church, who is responsible for evangelism? If we are going to grow from 18 Muruti to whatever number that the Lord may bring along, who is responsible to do that? From this, right? But evangelism is not a professional job for just a few trained men, but for everyone. It's an unrelenting responsibility, meaning it's a responsibility that we cannot neglect. It's an unrelenting responsibility for every person who belongs to the company of Jesus. Justin understood that very truth. He knew that for the people in Burma to hear the gospel, he as a Christian had to stand up and do something about it. For here, in Oliven, in Nokaneng where I come from, in Davyton, and wherever we come from, you as a Christian have a sole, unrelenting responsibility to evangelize. You have that. Amen. Muruti Omfundisi just has that responsibility. He's a believer. You also equally have that. Number three, third thing we learn from the life of Mr. Justin Vernon Justin is this: he emptied himself of self. He emptied himself of self. He emptied himself of self. Vernon Justin spent, as I said, 40 years of his life committed to the preaching of the gospel of Christ to the people of Burma. Justin left his hometown to India, a nation hostile to Christianity, to reach out to the hearts of lost people in Burma. That is selfless. But as I say, he emptied himself of self. We can best learn this from the book of Philippians. Let me read with you Philippians chapter 2, learning best from Christ. Philippians chapter 2. I'm reading or even to give to keep you awake a little bit, somebody can read verse 5 to 8. Philippians 2, verse 5 to 8. Somebody can do that for us, please. Philippians 2, verse 5 to 8. Anyone? Okay, let me read. Chapter 2, verse 5 to 8. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Which mind? Who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself to be of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men. Verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. As much as we learn this from Adoniram Judson, but I believe we also learn it best from Christ. Christ emptied himself. He was and he is God, but he left his throne and became a man so that he can save men from himself. Can you imagine that? Christ leaving his own throne as God, coming in a form of man to save man from himself. He emptied himself, our Lord Jesus Christ, he emptied himself to save you and I. Don't you think we should adopt the very same principle if we are to be mission-minded? Empty ourselves of self and be in on missions for God. Here's a harsh one. Brothers and sisters, if I am and you are full of yourself, you cannot be on missions for Christ. Amen. If you are full of yourself, you cannot be on missions for Christ. If life revolves around you, if life is all about you, you cannot see your neighbor who's dying. No. For Adoniram, he emptied himself of self to go to battle for Christ. He left that heavenly place and came into this world. For about 3 years, he walked amongst men. He even went to the cross to save the very same man. The very same man whom, when Christ came, you remember, they were singing, Hosanna, Hosanna to the highest. And while he was riding on that donkey, everybody was singing, Hosanna, Hosanna. Few years they were singing, crucify him. He emptied himself of self so as to save man from himself. And for us followers of Christ, just like Mr. Justin, if we are to be mission-minded, we must empty ourselves of self. And here's a proposition that you may choose to agree or disagree with. You see, most of us, ladies and gentlemen, we are full of ourselves. Take an example. If I were to say to you, let's go to Mozambique for missions, how many will be interested? As to opposed to if I can say, let's go to Cape Town for missions. Most of us, we are unfortunately full of ourselves. And that is a big barrier or hindrance to being mission-minded. And for young people, but also applicable to older people, but for young people, this world has offered so many idols that you have embraced to an extent that life is all about my glory, it's all about my success, it's all about me, 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 and never about Christ. Galatians 6, Paul says this way, for God forbid that I should glory in anything except in Christ and his cross. Hence that song. Let the cross be our song. Let the cross continue to be our story and even our glory. If we are to be mission-minded, we must first allow him to empty us of self. Amen. That's how it is. And for Adonai Justin, as a figure, evangelical figure, he did this. I mean, I cannot imagine being a young, educated man who has got a good job. I cannot imagine leaving my family. He was not married before. But leaving my family as a young man at the age of 25 and 40 years, being in a remote control, in a remote place somewhere in Africa for 40 years. Never mind the 6 months. But for Justin, he emptied himself of self. And I'm not saying if somebody is mission-minded, they have to leave their place for 40 years. That's what I'm saying. My point is, we need to allow God to empty us of us. We should allow God to empty ourselves of self. For Christian youth in the 21st century, there are many selves that we need to rid ourselves of. There are many selves that we need to rid ourselves of.
The first self that we need to get, that we need to rid ourselves of, is the self of self-love. That's the idol of self-love. We love ourselves too much. Isn't it the truth? We love ourselves too much. I mean, if you observe our world today, even unfortunately among Christians, we love ourselves to an extreme. I cannot go there. Why? I don't want the malaria. I cannot leave my comfortable bed. I cannot leave my DSTV. You see, we love ourselves too much. I would rather be in my comfortable couch and watch DSTV while somebody in my neighboring city is dying. I don't care as long as I have my DSTV. Isn't it what we are doing? We need to also to empty ourselves of the idol of technology. Technology is a brilliant thing, I should say. But our use, or even our passion for technology, is becoming very dangerous. I mean, when you are sitting and you are studying the Word of God, you will find the WhatsApp, Murudi, how are you? Okay, I'm fine. Murudi, how was your day? My day is fine. Murudi, I'm checking on you. Okay, thank you for checking on me. And then you go out. If you go in again, the very same person is still on WhatsApp. He or she is asking someone else, how are you? That's how it works. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to empty ourselves of self so as to be mission-minded. Can you, let me ask you young people, you can answer this one, it's okay. Can you leave your phone for a month and let's go on missions? Can you do that? Oh, phone this mina ngeke. Ngeke. Ngaseke. Can we do that? I think a month maybe slow. Can you just leave your phone at home for a weekend and let's be on mission for God? Can we do that? From this, I need to connect. I need to be in touch with my parents so that they can know what's happening. Well, whoever loves his life, the Bible says, he will lose it. We need to empty ourselves of this idol of technology. It's a brilliant thing. But another idol that we need to empty ourselves of is the idol of success. Whoa! Everybody wants to be successful. Everybody wants to be prosperous. To an extent that I can even sacrifice the opportunity to be on missions for the sake of taking an extra shift at work. Everybody wants to be successful. I want to be an accountant. Why? You know, because after being an accountant, I'm going to buy a house at Stone Ridge. Stone Ridge, right? I want to buy a house at Stone Ridge and drive this car and do this car and have my wife and my children. And how about those who are dying? What are you going to do about them? Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to see our house, even if we are not ready to go on missions, sometimes we are even not ready to support those who are on missions. For this, I'm too busy. You know, I thought I'm busy. I cannot take a week off for missions. Okay, no problem. You're busy that way. Can you support this guy because he's on missions for God in this remote place somewhere in villages or in Africa? Can you do that at least? It needs many supplications, prayer and requests and thanksgiving to do that, right? It's because we are consumed with an idol of success. So, as QCs are there, I'm working, okay, you're working support. I'm not sure. The first question is, how much? Okay, not much, 100 rand per month. We'll see.
For Justin, he emptied himself of any idol in his lifetime then. But also for us today, in our lives today, 21st century, there are many idols we need to empty ourselves of. Another idol is the idol of entertainment and pleasure. Can you and I sacrifice, now I'm challenging our hearts in a tough way, can we sacrifice that 50 rand for steak, you know, for the sake of supporting the work of God somewhere once in a month? Instead of going to a movie, can you take that money and say, okay, this month we are not going to go to a movie. We know of a man who is committed to the gospel, who is committed to missions full time. Can we take these 200 rand that we were going to spend as a family for entertainment and let's support him for this month? We need to empty ourselves of such. And please, I'm not saying if you go out there you think, ish, I was supposed to go to a movie, Majumfundis, which is, you know, movies are not good things. I'm not proposing that. And by the way, as I was preparing this sermon, it was also hidden back to me to say, for my entertainment, can't I cut some of the things for the sake of supporting mission somehow? We can do that. That's the idol of self-pleasure. Can you rid yourself of those pleasures for the sake of missions? The next idol is the idol of self-gratification, meaning self-satisfaction. Your life is all about satisfying yourself. Paul, Adoniram Judson, life was not about self-gratification, but it was all about pleasing Christ. And for that, for him, that meant going to Bama for 40 years. Self-gratification, that is one of the idols that the world is saving to us today. I want to make sure I travel the world before I become 40 years old. I want to, you know, tour around South Africa. I want to go to. For what? We'd rather go to Mozambique to see Victoria Falls rather than going to Mozambique and Shai Shai and all those kind of places, right? Rather go to, you know, Zimbabwe to see Victoria Falls and all those beautiful places, rather than going to Zimbabwe to say, how can we reach out to many souls who are dying out there? That's our nature, self-gratification. And somebody saying, guilty as charged. Amen to that. If you are guilty as charged. Another idol is the idol of self-preoccupation. Remember, it's under the point, we need to empty ourselves of self. Another idol is the idol of self-preoccupation. Young people are busy. You know what they're busy with? Self. Young people are so occupied. Occupied with self. Most of this Sunday, I don't think I'll be there. Why? Oh, we are having this outreach ministry. I'm not going to be there. Why? Because I want to work extra shift so that I can be able to pay self. That's all. Even at the workplaces, when they ask who wants to take extra shift, Christians are the first one to say, I'll come on Sunday because it's double. Self-preoccupation. That is a hindrance to missions. That is a big hindrance to missions. And that is the last idol I want you to think of. Some of you might think of things beyond this list, but this is the list I want to leave with you. Be careful of that. If we are to be on missions for God, number one, we must have passion for Christ. Number two, we must have passion for the lost. Number three,
we must empty ourselves of self. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for the service. We learn from such wonderful character in Adoniram Judson, but also from the Holy Scripture, we see men and women who really loved you so much, who really were passionate about you, passionate about the lost, who emptied themselves of self for the sake of your name. Well, thank you that today we can learn of this truth and repent our hearts, O Lord, we pray, especially in relation to missions. This is one of the areas of Christian responsibilities that we neglect so much. We think they are for specific, trained, gifted men and women. But Lord, it is our responsibility as the body of Christ, all of us. Bless our time even this day. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this fellowship. In His name we pray. Amen.